4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is the PVO show presented to you by Nerd Rage Entertainment. I am your host, DL Peter Prince, and I wanted to immediately come and talk to you guys. Just reading an article, Tony Khan is extremely happy with the response that he's received back from TNT. TNT was really happy about the demo win that AEW received, which is a small win, but as long as that you're hearing that your TV network is very happy with what they're getting back for, like, what they look for as ratings, because there's a lot of confusion online with, you know, AEW and WWE going back and forth with their ratings. It's the demo, I guess, that is, like, I guess the most important because of advertisements and TV sponsorships and stuff like that. So that's the one very, like hardcore thing that a network is going to go for. They just want to make sure that the numbers and the figures all add up in their, like, target range. And the demo that they're looking for as far as AEW has been 18 to 40. I don't want to say 18 to 49 demographic, which is pretty much a fair assessment to go with. That's a fair line to go for. And in TNT's, you know, window of opportunity for AEW, they're okay with everything that they've been doing. They're happy. So I had to make this because Eric Bischoff, which is really surprising, Eric Bischoff went off on AEW telling Tony Khan to shut up. I knew that this was coming. I saw what Tony Khan was doing on Twitter, taking shots, but not in the same aspect that a lot of people who are, like, really hardcore WWE stands right now, like, it's really annoying me because the people that are like this, as far as fans go, that are WWE stands, like, right now, like, you know that there is now something else that is out there. And instead of actually giving the other thing a try, as well as watching what you're watching, there hasn't really been that. There's been so much pushback because these guys are like, well, you know, like, WWE is the place. We're going to stay loyal to that because that's all we really knew. And it really is better if you do, in fact, enjoy everything. But, you know, I've already said it on here on the podcast, and I've said it to a lot of my friends that have always only been WWE stands. Like, they only are for, like, even before AEW showed up, I already was, like, venturing out into, like, other stuff that was out there. When Lucha Underground came out, I was on that shit immediately because it was something different. It showed a completely different style of wrestling that really was barely even allowed to be shown. Vince doesn't even really care about luchador wrestling. So, like, you know, Rey Mysterio and his son are there. Humberto is still around. You had the Lucha House Party. Lucha House Party was barely even taken seriously. You know, they're hidden on 205. Then they kind of showed up on NXT. But the only reason why he's ever dealt with Rey Mysterio's is because Rey Mysterio's is insanely over with fans. There's nothing you can do to hurt Rey Mysterio with fans. He even left the company on good terms because he's always had a solid, he's always had a solid relationship with WWE. So he's recruited for them. He's done stuff for them. When he left, he did exactly that. He recruited Ricochet. I'm not sure if he added anybody else, but Ricochet specifically was the guy he was going for. That was who WWE wanted. So when he went to Lucha Underground and saw Ricochet, that's exactly how he ended up getting him. Once Ricochet was out of his contract, he was able to go ahead and go sign with WWE. And, you know, everybody knew it was coming. But when Ray was able to leave and go on the independent circuit and do stuff for AAA Wrestling, and then do that venture with Lucha Underground, it was an immediate draw. This man was able to go and make money for himself, which is something that I feel a lot of guys that have already established themselves in WWE should have already done too, you know. And that's not, you know, really including, like, the, like, everything that happened with the, you know, the pandemic put a lot of stuff back. But if you really think about it, if you are someone that can draw, you know, why not bet on yourself? And that's the one thing I tell, like, a lot of these guys that only like WWE. That's, you know, saying that version of wrestling that we always, that, you know, saying that we were used to, the repeat of the same shit over and over and over and over and over again, nothing new, nothing fresh. Like, that's just the style that we was used to. But then look at what happened within the same company that we love. NXT was created. And at first, when it started out, it was just development. But then Triple H ended up molding NXT into that yellow and black brand that we ended up loving. They had a style that was matched up with all the indie stuff. And it really worked. It was really amazing. If you go back and think about it, go back to every single takeover match, every takeover pay-per-view itself. Like, not every single, I guess, match is a five-star match or whatnot. That's fair. You know what I mean? That's you rarely get a five-star match all the time. But takeover pay-per-views themselves, they were always better than whatever Raw and SmackDown could give us. And that's a fact. How do I know this is a fact? Because that was why I was drawn into NXT. When takeovers would happen, you know, saying you watched a four match pay-per-view that was well thought of, highly established. I mean, your NXT, like, you know, saying, you know, championship match was an insane highlight. Like, it was always like it's getting ready to go down. And it didn't matter like who it was. It didn't matter if it was Neville when he was there, you know, aka Pac. It didn't matter if it was Shinsuke Nakamura. It didn't matter if it was Finn Balor. You know, you had amazing heavy, you had amazing main eventers, you know, with that NXT style and that brand, that when it was time for those matches, it was about to go down. Pete Dunne shows up when you started the NXT UK division. You started that brand. That's a whole nother thing. Those guys even have already had worked with each other with some of the like indie stuff that I've seen that's in Europe. That British style of wrestling is freaking next level. Walter is insane. Walter's matches, for the most part, you can guarantee that is a five-star match. Anytime that man gets in the ring and has a match, you're getting a five-star match. As a matter of fact, go back to Dragunov versus Walter 1 and 2. You're not ever going to get a match like that on the main roster. You're not going to get that on Raw. You are not getting that on SmackDown. And you damn sure are not going to get that match at a freaking, Hell in a Cell, WrestleMania. You're not getting any of that. None of it. And Vince McMahon knew that and doesn't like it. So now NXT has now been rebranded. He hasn't done anything to NXT UK, but I'm scared for them. Cause like you know, Bea Presley just got over there. You know, she left AEW to come. You know, saying she went back to Japan. Now, I guess either she's still in. She left Japan. I think now she's now back in Europe, back home. But now that she's back home and now she's over there in NXT UK, Vince McMahon just rebranded NXT to the NXT 2.0. What does that mean for NXT UK? They've been very like tight-lipped on it. And it's bad enough that sometimes you barely even see, you barely even have anything for NXT UK. So I really don't know what they're going to do with that. It's a scary situation because you're talking about some really talented people that are over there, like extremely, and it's a whole nother level of wrestling as far as when you're talking about that British, beat them up, smash them up style. Pete Dunne really, you know, brought that in. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of guys from that UK brand that I really love. You know, saying you got him, Tyler Bates. I'm huge fans of these two guys. These are two small guys. Vince is not pushing, but I'm not gonna, I'm not gonna say you know, too much. There's not too much bad that you can say about what's been going on. Like, Triple H is still there. Shawn Michaels is still there for those guys. So they feel confident that they've made the right decision to stay in NXT, to stay with WWE as far as, you know, NXT goes. But I'm scared. Pete Dunne, you know, Tyler Bates, these are two very small guys, but they're extremely talented. They're strong. You know, they're exceptionally strong for their sizes, and they can put on great matches. Hell, Dragunov is another one. You know, if he goes to the main roster, like, they're going to be able to give you all the entertainment that you need. The thing is, though, is, you know, like, what is Vince going to make them do? Is he going to make them wear a fucking tutu? Like, you don't, like, that's this dumb shit that you don't know what they're going to do. Like, you don't know if you're going to have this great, talented wrestler show up on Raw, and now he's a fucking manager. And you're like, wait a minute. Like, that dude has a 5-star match on, you know, saying Dave Meltzer's list of, you know, matches. Like, why is he a fucking, you know, like, why the hell is he showing up as a manager? Because that's the only thing that they see them as. So, like, these are certain reasons why people are happy that there's an alternative. And it doesn't, I just don't get it. I've given up on the idea of, you know, trying to bring more people over, because Danielson versus Suzuki, the match is on YouTube, and it's free for anybody around the world that has access to YouTube to be able to watch. There was 900, the last time that I checked, there was like 900,000 views on that. That's sad. 4 million people watched a talking segment on, you know, saying from SmackDown, a talking segment on YouTube, 4 million people watched. At this point, people love mediocrity. Like, and I'm not going to harp too much on that. You know, you like what you like. It's just the people that, you know, saying, say they don't like, you know, AEW, they don't watch it. And the things that they do love, they watch clips of, and they don't actually watch the damn program. So it bothers me if you say, well, I'm sticking with WWE, you know, saying I'm not really a fan of that other stuff. You're not a fan of pro wrestling. It's weird, because obviously you like wrestling, but you only want to have one brand of wrestling, so you see the same damn people. Because when it comes to AEW, and it took a while for this to kind of all work itself out, but Tony Khan really has came up with something, you know, saying unique in his own way. The talent that's there, as far as, like, you know, you got your seasoned vets that are being shown on TV a lot, they still have young guys around them that they keep bringing and putting on TV and giving them an opportunity to be seen and, you know, saying, and be able to showcase what they can do. A lot of people haven't seen Mass at all in years. Some people don't even remember that was Evan Bourne when he was with WWE. That was, you know, saying, that's who he was. Now he's a extremely talented technical wrestler as well. And a lot of people got to see him showcase that talent with CM Punk, which they hadn't seen that, you know, saying, in an extremely long time. So now you got an opportunity to see that again for the first time on television. And, you know, saying it worked for TNT. They were very happy with the demo. And this is what, you know, AEW ended up bringing against, you know, SmackDown. They put CM Punk and Matt Sydal in a match. They put Bryan Danielson versus, you know, saying Suzuki for free on YouTube. You know, that's big. Then you had Bryan Danielson versus Bobby Fish, you know, saying on Dynamite, to end out Dynamite on top of that before you got to see the elimination bracket. You know, I thought everything that Tony Khan did, you know, saying, was really well thought out and, you know, saying, unique in his own right, because he didn't, you know, saying, necessarily have to just bring out, you know, every big guy versus each other. They still were doing their regular storylines that they already had in place. You know, they kept building up some more storylines on the side. You know, it was really, you know, saying, a thought out show. And I thought they did a good job, you know, saying, still bringing those young faces. You have Malakai Black versus Dante Martin. And Dante Martin is a kid right now. he's not getting a whole lot of wins, but guess what? He's getting seen on Dynamite pretty much every single week. And if it's not every week, it's every other week. And in some capacity, you get to see this kid. I love what they're doing. And they're doing long-term booking with a lot of different people. Hangman Page is going to be going up against Kenny Omega for the title. Do you not understand that story started damn near 2 years ago? The two of them were tag team champions. And not only were they tag team champions, they were actually fucking good. Like, you had the Young Bucks doing their thing. And so while the Young Bucks were, you know, saying doing their thing as a tag team, so was Kenny Omega and Hangman. And it was fucking good. You're talking about the Buckshot Lariat and the V-Trigger all done at, you know, saying done at the same time as their tag team finisher. That was fucking well thought out. They would come out and do, you know, saying both of their styles clashed extremely well. The storyline that they had come up with, you know, saying with him getting messed up with, you know, with Hangman getting confused and starting to have a drinking problem, FTR showing up and, you know, saying and just fucking things up, just well thought out. And it's overlapped over an extremely long time. Hell, it even got to the point where Hangman Page was hanging out with the Dark Order and, you know, saying and working with them, but kind of not working with them and not really knowing what he wanted to do. And when he finished out, before we didn't see him for a while, you know, he lost, you know, saying he lost his match and, you know, saying, you know, just got his ass beat by the entire, you know, the Elite. And then we didn't see him for a while. Then we finally see him show back up and he earns this opportunity to go against Kenny Omega. That is long-term booking. That happened over the course over a year and a half. Not over the course of a month, over, you know, saying over 2 to 3 weeks where you just saw Kenny Omega and Hangman Page have a match over and over and over again for like, you know, saying, you know, for like 3 months. That's not what happened. You really had a well thought out plan. Right from the moment that Kenny Omega and Hangman Page became a tag team and had run-ins, you know, saying with the Young Bucks, who are supposed to be their friends, then Hangman Page eventually gets kicked out, you know, saying of, you know, saying of the Elite. Like, you understand, like this long-term booking. Now you have Adam Cole. You just started another long-term booking storyline. Everybody already knows where this story is going. They know that at some point, Kenny Omega is going to get kicked out of the Elite, and that could possibly happen after his match, you know, with Hangman Page. If he loses against Hangman Page at Full Gear, and I'm really debating on whether or not Tony Khan is going to, you know, send in, you know, he's going to pull a double whammy on everybody. I didn't know if I want to say that. You know, it sounded a little corny, but we're still going to run with it. I feel like Tony Khan's going to pull a double whammy on everybody. And what he's going to end up doing is he's going to take the opportunity at Full Gear to give you an amazing match with Kenny Omega and Hangman Page for the title. But there's going to be interference and something is going to happen. Either the match is going to get interfered with and they're not going to have a clean finish. You know, saying, and Hangman Page can lose his, you know, saying lose the opportunity right then and there. And then something will happen along the lines that he'll need to actually have to earn another opportunity at getting a chance to go up against Kenny Omega for the title. I could see something like this happening instead of Hangman Page actually getting the title at Full Gear. I feel like Full Gear is an opportunity to set up. I want to say Revolution is the next pay-per-view. Revolution is supposed to be the next pay-per-view. I feel like there's a good opportunity right there to have Full Gear set up for your big final showdown at Revolution and have Hangman Page win at Revolution. That way Now you've also increased more storyline time for Adam Cole to insert himself again as the leader of the Elite. And so when it all falls down and Kenny Omega loses that title, Adam Cole and the Young Bucks can kick Kenny Omega out of the Elite. And Adam Cole can basically take over the Elite. And now you have Super Click back together again with Adam Cole being in charge. Because see, Adam Cole being back, if you haven't noticed, Adam Cole is being brought back with the opportunity, the full opportunity to be a superstar. And you see it every time Adam Cole shows up, every time his interest music hits, he's allowed to come out by himself. The Young Bucks come out first, and then they let Adam Cole come out. If they do something with Kenny Omega, Kenny Omega's allowed to come out by himself as well. So everybody gets that opportunity to be a star in this moment. And Adam Cole gets that immediately right off the start. Even though it's Super Click or the Super Elite, Adam Cole gets to come out, bring his interest music, and do his whole stick that he does. When he comes out, you know, saying he takes some time, but he's on the, you know, saying he's on the side of the ring post, and he says, boom. Then he gets to come in, and everybody gets ready for it. Go, baby. Everybody gets to enjoy that. It's always one of the best pops because the entire crowd loses their shit and says it with him, says, baby. It's always good. It's always fun. Everything's just leading in the right direction for him. He's with his best friends. He's there with his girlfriend. How could you not be happy for Adam Cole? Back to the WWE stands. What on earth are you guys upset about? You have some options to see something a little bit different. And I would think that a lot of you guys would be rooting. I would think a lot of, you know, these guys would actually be rooting for these guys. But, I've looked online and I've seen some weird reactions. Bobby Fish, I didn't know that he was going to show up in AEW and actually join. I thought that was an open door thing where he was just showing up to do a match. But then Bobby Fish actually went ahead and signed a contract. Hell yeah, let's go. You got a seasoned vet right there who's now going to have his opportunity to be able to showcase what he can do in front of everybody by himself without him necessarily having to be stuck behind somebody else's stardom. He was amazing. They did a great job. But now he's in AEW, he gets to be his own person. He gets to be his own star. That's not the reception that happened online. When it showed that Bobby Fish was signing his contract with AEW, I keep seeing the same goddamn reaction. Oh, man, I thought he was going to go sign with MLW. This is getting out of hand. This is getting ridiculous. AEW's just signing everybody. What the hell are you guys upset about? It's an alternative company that's in the U.S. Some of these guys live right here in the States. Why the hell do they have to go back to ROH? ROH is not even accepting big names. ROH is developing talent. They don't want big names that want money. So ROH is not, is not taking people. New Japan, while they're still trying to build their platform as far as Here for Strong, New Japan doesn't have to, necessarily pick up, big contracts. They can really just work with AEW like they already have been. They can keep working with ROH like they, still kind of sort of have been doing. There's a lot of guys that Lee Moriarty is actually one of those guys. He's done stuff for ROH. He's done stuff for MLW. He's been doing stuff for like smaller companies. He's been doing, I've seen a lot of other guys doing stuff in different things. John Moxley has been in New Japan. He was the U.S. title, U.S. champion. Got to defend the U.S. title on AEW. You had Lance Archer, who works with New Japan as well. Like, there's a lot of open door stuff that's going on, and it's all done. It's all being done very well. Tony Khan is actually giving contracts to these wrestlers where they're getting paid. So WWE's not the only brand that can actually pay these guys money. These guys can get paid. But then also the beautiful part is they can offer you an opportunity to go work with a smaller company, or you can still, if you want, you can get a you can get access in your contract to go and work with New Japan. Who the hell doesn't want to do that? So I really just want to question a lot of you guys that are, you know, saying that are online and talking to your buddies like, hey, man, I think it's bullshit that they keep signing this person. Why would I not want to sign this person? This is a great talent that wants to work with us. And we actually keep to have, you know, saying Tony Khan loves the fact that he has fresh faces coming in. You don't get a whole lot of repeats. And I know I'm saying repeats while there's about to be Andrade is getting ready to have his rematch with Pac, and that's going to be their second rematch. And then Malakai Black is getting his rematch versus Cody Rhodes, which is going to be their third match, the third time that they're wrestling against each other. That's just, you know, saying two sets of people that are getting rematches, but they're in a storyline right now. And it hasn't been repetitive because there's been space in between it. That's the difference. There's been space in between it, and there hasn't been, you know, saying like in between that time, you know, Cody Rhodes has had this storyline going back and forth with Arn Anderson, and it's really good. Arn Anderson is killing it right now, actually, with his promos. I'm loving it. Arn Anderson, like, I guess I'll have to continue saying this over and over, but one of the best parts about everything that's been happening with AEW is the fact that if you look around at these vets, look at their faces and look how fucking happy all of them are. We're talking about long-term wrestlers that have been in the game for an extremely long time. They're smiling for the fucking first time that they have in an extremely long time. If you call yourself a wrestling fan, and you call yourself being a wrestling fan of any of these guys ever at one point, and you only want to be fans of them just because they were with WWE, that's sad. You know what I'm saying? They have a life. They have families that they got to take care of. So why shouldn't they sign somewhere that's going to make them happy? And that's the thing that I question about a lot of you guys that keep on calling yourselves wrestling fans, but you have a problem with another company that's, you know, saying that's doing really well. So what, it didn't work out for TNA. That was TNA. Now they're Impact and they're still doing fine. They're, you know, they may not have that big TV spotlight, but Access TV is a cable network, and in some capacity, you still can go watch wrestling there as well. Hell, they may even be able to get their hands on Bray Wyatt. You know, Buddy Murphy might be showing up there. Actually, Buddy Murphy will be showing up in New Japan soon. But even with that, I saw a guy saying, good, I'm glad, because I don't want to see him go on AEW. I'm sick of that mess. Sick of what? The same people that say stuff like that, again, don't even watch AEW's product. Bryan Danielson versus Suzuki. Are you kidding me? Like, we got that match for free, and people didn't even want to watch it. There's 900,000 views that are on their YouTube channel right now for that block. You know, saying that free hour of wrestling. That's it. And if you want to, you can skip it. You know, you can skip all the way to the Bryan Danielson match. Nobody wants to watch it. And it's sad because it's an extremely good match. And I still go back, if there's a good match on WWE, depending on what it is, I'll watch it. Like if it's a Walter match, I'm watching every single Walter match there is. Why? Because they're always going to be high quality five-star matches. Dragunov is another guy. He's the UK champion. You want to watch those matches. He's going to, you know, saying he's literally going to put on a show. You know, saying that kid has great energy and he's great for the, you know, saying for the future. I always say, you know, enjoy what you guys like. You know, watch what you want to watch. But at the same time, if you are a WWE stan that exclusively only watches WWE content, and you've been questioning some things, and you don't even watch Raw or SmackDown, I question everything about you, man. Go out there and check out something else for a change. You may like it. Stop being scared of it. You know what I'm saying? Change is good. And you can do like everybody else. Just watch everything that there is available to all of us. Like always, man, I love you guys. Keep spreading that word of mouth like always. And until next time, this is your man, DLP the Prince.
Ha 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 ha!